Hello. Today, we pick up with Matthew chapter 20, Jesus telling a parable called the laborers in the vineyard is what it's often referred to as, and that's sort of the main characters in the parable. But before we do that, I want to set the stage to sort of get us in the right frame of mind as to where Jesus is and what he's been doing, who he's with, and what he's been teaching. So in chapter 19, it says that Jesus entered the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. So he's not in Galilee anymore, and he's got all sorts of people around him. A great crowd follows him. Pharisees are there with him. His disciples are with him. Families are with him, and he's doing some teaching, as he often does. And so the first section of chapter 19 begins with him giving some teaching on divorce, which it just sort of sets the tone for the things he's going to be talking about. And they're not easy. And the things that he's going to be talking about are not easy. These aren't happy-go-lucky teachings that he's talking about. So he begins by talking about divorce, and I'm not going to get into that because that's not where we're reading today, but just so you know. Then the next section, we see him teaching with children, and he brings the children into the midst of them and talks about them. And then there's a rich young man who comes up to him and claims to have kept all of the commandments all his life. And Jesus tells him to go and sell everything he has and give his possessions to the poor and then follow him. And that's too much for the rich young man. So then he continues to talk with his disciples and teaching them about sort of the way the world works, the way that God works. And he goes into this parable of the laborers in the vineyard. And well, I'll just read it, and then you can hear from Jesus what he's talking about. So this is Matthew chapter 20, starting at verse 1. "For the kingdom of heaven," Jesus said, "is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard, and going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, 'You go into the vineyard too. Whatever is right, I'll give you.' So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others still standing. And he said to them, 'Why do you stand here idle all day?' And they said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' And he said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too.' And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first.' And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge me my generosity?' So the last will be first, and the first last." So Jesus is teaching the parables, and he's been talking about the difficult things, divorce, and the place of children in faith and in God's kingdom. And he's been teaching about the trappings of being rich and the trappings of money and how that interferes. And so all of these things culminate with this incredible parable that Jesus tells about these workers and about the master of the house. It really is more about the master of the house than it is about the workers. And it's a kingdom parable. So we set this up by saying Jesus is teaching about the kingdom of God, about the reign and rule of Christ in his kingdom. In short, how God works with people, their relationship and interaction on some level that we can have understanding. Otherwise, it's too far beyond us. So Jesus sets this up as a typical thing. A master owns a house, he owns a vineyard, he needs people to work in the vineyard. He goes and finds day laborers, much as we still have today. He hires day laborers to go to work for him. He agrees with the day laborers on a particular price, on a wage, and that is a denarius, which is a typical day's wage. So he sends those first workers out, that first group he goes to, and he sends them out into his field, and they get to work. He does the same thing 3 hours later, 6 hours later, 9 hours later, and he's just, you know, bringing these people in. And then the 11th hour, the very last hour before it's closing time, he calls in another group of workers. So first we see this image of the master of the house. So when we line it out, it's God that we're looking at. And one of the things that it shows me is God's persistence. He doesn't just go out once and say, all right, you workers go and I'm going to forget everybody else. He goes out once, brings some in. He goes out again, brings some in. He goes out again and brings some in. And then he continues to do this, the persistence of God interacting with his people to keep bringing them in. And the way that we look at it, we see God at work all the time, bringing new people in to his family, new people in to be workers with him in his kingdom. And he is continuing to do that, even in a world in which we look around and say, yeah, churches are closing. People aren't becoming pastors or priests, and communities are closing down. And it looks as though our faith and our church are disappearing or being destroyed. When in fact we know with confidence, when Jesus says the gates of hell won't prevail against his church, that you know the situation we're in currently, it's not going to destroy the church. I want you to hear that. It may disrupt worship. It may get in the way of things that we normally would do, but the church is going to survive because God wants it to. And he says it's going to. And the government, as powerful as it is or thinks it is not stronger than the gates of hell. And if the gates of hell can't destroy the church, the government isn't going to either. It's a complete aside. But the idea that God is persistent. And so then he has all of these workers in his vineyard, as the parable goes, getting back to Matthew 20. As the parable goes, there's all these workers in the vineyard, and it's time to settle accounts. It's time to pay. So he brings the first people, the people that he hired last, the ones that only worked for an hour, roughly, in his field. And he pays them. And he pays them a prescribed amount, a denarius. And he pays the people he brought in at the ninth hour and the sixth hour and the third hour, and he pays them all the same. And then there's this group, the first people he hired come in, and he pays them a denarius. And they're like, well, wait, this isn't fair. We worked all day long, and you paid these guys who only worked an hour. That's not fair. We deserve more. In fact, the parable, Jesus says, they expected to be paid more. They had built it up in their minds that they were going to be paid more, even though they know for themselves that they agreed for a denarius, that was the contract. So the master of the house honors that contract, gives them exactly what he said he was going to give them. No more, no less, and no more, no less than he agreed with the other people. But the problem is not the master. The problem is the expectation of the workers, that they thought that they deserved more or better. And, you know, we deal with it's unfair. It's unfair all the time. We deal with disparity and, of course, some more than others. But we all in our lives at some point, even if it was as a child, have said, it's not fair. Life's not fair. And to be honest, in this world, life isn't fair. It isn't. And again, it's been more unfair for others than for some, but life is not fair. In fact, human beings since Cain and Abel have cried out, it's not fair. Life's not fair. And of course it's not. Because the world is corrupted by sin. People are corrupted by sin. We are selfish, greedy creatures. It's never going to be fair. As much as we hate to hear that. Now, that doesn't mean we don't try our best to live in equality and equity and peace and tranquility with one another. That doesn't mean we don't try to do that. But we need to recognize that fairness, as much as we want it to be part of our society, it just isn't there. And we will continue to crusade for fairness in all respects, because that's who we are. That's who God designed us to be. But this is a kingdom parable. It's not about this particular part of the world that we live in and time in the world that we live in. It's about how God works with his people. It's how God works with his kingdom. And yes, God is king over left and right. He is king over this world and the next. He is king over the spiritual and the material. God is king over all of it. But when it comes to his grace, when it comes to his mercy, when it comes to his forgiveness, God is generous beyond all measure. We don't understand it. We can't figure it out, but God is generous, beyond generous. And the kingdom parable continues on, and the workers grumble that that God has somehow made us the same. This landowner has made the hard workers and the late workers all the same, and they're not happy about that. So the owner could respond and say, you know what, you're right. That slipped my mind. I should pay you. I'll give you more. But he doesn't do that. And he also doesn't take back what he's given that worker and say, well, if you're going to complain about it, you'll get nothing. These are things that we would do, And you know, we would respond by saying, we need to make things fair. So let's pay everybody. Let's create a sliding scale. Let's create a percentage, an hourly, let's work this all out and let's set up all of this stuff, this scaffolding to hold up this system that we want to build. And we've done that. We know that. We look around and we can see all of the scaffolding that our systems have built, and a lot of it is tumbling down now because it's faulty. But God is not working that way. He's not taking those kinds of things into consideration because he's God. He's not us. He's God. And so his generosity goes beyond our comprehension. And Jesus says that the landowner responds by saying, friend, I'm not doing anything wrong to you. You're not being disparaged by me. In fact, he says, take what I've given you, what belongs to you, and go. I'm not going to take it back. I'm not going to withhold it. You're not getting any more. So take what you have and go. And he says, I choose to give to the last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? So what the landowner is saying, and what we hear God saying, is everything I have is mine, and I choose to give it to whom I wish. And I'm going to pour out grace on this one, and I'm going to pour out forgiveness on this one, and I'm going to pour out mercy on this one, and I'm going to continue to do that, even when we think it's not fair. I've lived my whole life by the straight and narrow, and this guy over here has, he's a thief, and he's a liar, and he's an adulterer, and he's all of these horrible things, and somehow God's going to say he's forgiven, and me too? That I should get a better seat in heaven, you know, if this is the way that it should go. Maybe he should get into heaven. I won't begrudge him that, but he certainly shouldn't be as elevated as I am, because that's not fair. But God in this parable is saying, I choose to do what I want with what's mine. And if we really want to push it and really want to understand where he's coming from, it's all God's. All of it is God's. And so he chooses to give it to whom he wishes. So we may over and over again say, you know, it's not fair, it's not fair, it's not fair. And you're right, it's not. As flippant as this may seem to be, life is not fair. And we'll fight against that because we're human, and we will. But God isn't fair either. but he is beyond generous. He is beyond gracious. He's beyond forgiving and overflowing with all of these things, with his love and his mercy. And he pours it out on us, even though we don't deserve it. And ultimately, that's what we come to, that we don't deserve anything that God pours out on us. Because we're sinners, because we're corrupt, because we sin all the time, because we say one thing and do another, because we're demanding, because we're selfish, because we are all about me and what I want and how to satisfy me at the expense of so many others, we don't deserve anything. And yet God, in his mercy, gave his son Jesus to die for us and forgives us all of our sins and does so over and over and over again. And we are thankful for that grace. We're thankful that God's not fair. We are thankful that God is just, that God is good, that God is righteous, that God is God, and we are not. We are thankful. And so we live each day in that gratitude of God's grace and his forgiveness, because we don't deserve it, but he gives it to us anyway. And that's the parable. That's the parable that those who think that they deserve something more will get what has been given to them. And those who may feel as though they are not deserving of anything will get what God gives to them. That mercy and that grace will come to us through Christ. And it's there for us. And we will embrace it and enjoy it and savor it. In Jesus' name, amen.